So as mentioned yesterday, the structure of the first part of the Gospel of John follows a particular pattern. Jesus will work a sign, and then he will have a teaching afterward that elucidates the meaning of the sign. So yesterday we heard the story of the man who was paralyzed, lying on a mat. Jesus heals him and then gives him the gift of movement. And then the Pharisees say, "How did you get better?" He says, "Jesus healed me." And then Jesus says to the guy, "Now don't sin again." Or don't sin. Doesn't say sin again. Just don't sin. And then the guy tells the Pharisees that Jesus worked a healing on the Sabbath, and then Jesus gets persecuted. So the point is that when Jesus heals, he bears the burden of the healing on his own person. That it's not something that when he heals, that he wants to be emotionally and spiritually separated from those he offers healing, but he suffers, in a sense, the fate of those whom he heals. And the best example is in the Gospel of Mark. When Jesus heals a leper, the first thing that happens is Jesus touches the leper and is now outside of the town. You bear the burden of those to whom you minister. And it is often the fate of some of the greatest saints. The ones that I'm thinking right now are of the Grey Nuns that helped first establish mission work in Quebec. Was they ministered to women who had a hard time, and then the entire town scorned them and derided them as the same type of drunkard women. That you can't serve without truly involving yourself. But this also has the other characteristic of the sign, in the sense that there's a visible reality, and then we have to get into the more difficult one, which is the spiritual reality, which includes the physical reality. And so this is what we would call signs. There's another sense of signs, that something that points to a different mystery. And the prophet Isaiah this morning gives us one of the most foundational symbols of love in the world. A love of a mother for their child. And for most people, that is one of the most foundational bedrock assumptions about the goodness of life and the goodness of being. And it doesn't always work out. The prophet knows very well that, yeah, you can say to a lot of people, "But remember, your mother loves you." But there are some people in this world that you could say that to, and just you get clawed in the face. Or the same thing goes with father, or the same thing goes with spouse, the same thing goes with child, that there's all the most intimate loves, the most profound experiences of God's presence in this life also carry with them a very tremendous and terrifying threat that it doesn't work out. Healing a wound over being swindled over some money at a used car dealer is, you're angry for about an afternoon, and maybe, depending on your financial situation, you carry with it for a while. But if there is that kind of wound, it carries for such a powerfully long time that it's almost impossible to heal in this life. So what does Jesus do? He shares his Father with us. But it's hard. He could teach us the love of his Father. He could try to communicate that the Father is indeed working in us, that it is his deepest desire to see us into perfection. But our love for our heavenly Father has the same danger that our love for our earthly parents has with it. Any one of you who's a parent knows how difficult it is to navigate two different extremes. One, the unconditional character of love. And two, that we must never settle. That we must always try to strive to have our children and ourselves be the best of ourselves. And it's in between that paradox that we often lose. Sometimes we're far too lenient and then kids go nuts. Sometimes we're far too strict and kids go nuts. And this is the precise tension that the Father has to deal with us. And this is why the Old Testament is very strict about the Sabbath and using the name of the Lord in vain. Now, when the commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, this is not as often we've, you know, heard when we're preparing for our first reconciliation as children, not to use Jesus or God's name as a swear word. This means avoid saying, thus says the Lord, God says this, God told me to do this, to avoid doing that at all costs. Because what it does is that it develops in the person's mind the expectation that God's expectations are the same as mine. And so if we've seen how destructive mommy and daddy issues are in this world, if we misrepresent God in the next, the damage can be unbelievable. I have met untold people, being a priest and after a priest, who have been scarred because a priest said something a little too rough or a little too lenient, that he didn't love them enough to tell them the truth. And the truth always goes right in between. That it tells people that you cannot earn more of God's love than you already have, and yet God's love is so amazing that it prompts your response. And there's the sweet spot. When Jesus breaks the Sabbath yesterday by healing the man, what he's saying is that the work of God is not yet complete in this world. That he's still busy. That he only took a day of rest in preparation because he completed his human work. He completed the creation. He completed all of the human stuff. But here's the problem. There's still work to be done in us. And this work requires our freedom, our work, our cooperation. And we're going to screw it up a lot. Any one of us who believes that this process of sanctification and growing into the divine daughter, becoming sons and daughters of God, is going to happen without a few hiccups along the way is slightly deluded. That it is not going to be easy. It is incredibly hard work. And that God has ridiculously high standards. And that sometimes it can feel absolutely terrible. Every single night you go home at night and you say, well, what's expected of me? What is, you know, I'll just do my own glimpse. What is the image of a priest, David, when you go to bed and think about all the things you should have done and been? And then I'm like, oh, it's that guy. Did you fail? Absolutely. Without question. In fact, spectacularly. Does God care more about you than your failings? You bet. The cross is not Jesus telling us how much we've screwed up and how much we've hurt him. It shows us how far he is willing to go to meet us where we're at. He is willing to descend into hell so that we might not be in hell alone. And this is why when Jesus says he is equal to God, we have to take him at his word. Because if Jesus is willing to wash our feet, if Jesus is willing to go to all of these extremes to meet us, to guide us, to heal us, to strengthen us, it means that this difficult work of person building, of becoming a son or a daughter of God, he is willing to pay the price, not to an angry God, but to you and me. He's fought the fight to be able to prove to us that he is worthy of our trust, that he has that tenderness, and that even when we judge and condemn ourselves, he does not want to condemn us. Now, it does sound pretty rough when Jesus says, life, condemnation, da-da-da. He says afterwards, I can do nothing on my own, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. In other words, if you as a parent would love to be able to forgive the stupidity of your kids because you know that deep down they're good, God knows the deep down more than you do. It's his desire to forgive more than you have the desire to forgive. Because I seek not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Well, what is the Father's will? As John says in a different place, well, John's Gospel, Jesus says it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that those who are living in the shadow of death may have life." For it is, and Jesus says in a different place, in John's Gospel as well, "The Father wishes that all may come to him and live." In your deepest, darkest moments, or in your concern about the deepest, darkest moments of your family members or of your friends or of whatever, realizing that God has revealed himself in Jesus, he has set us free from our own ridiculously high expectations and our own inadequate commitment of love. He has given us exactly what the human heart needs, a person who knows us right here, right there. He knows exactly what we're capable of and will challenge us to be the best of ourselves. And then when we fall along the way, these stations, he's fallen with us.